This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me is my good friend, Alex Spears. Alex, what's up, man?
Hey, Andrew. It's not a Saturday.
It's definitely not a Saturday. If you don't listen to Saturday Slam and Jam on this feed, which maybe you're like, why is the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA show feed? Well, just listen. Just deal with it and listen to the show. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. Today, we are talking about NBA rookies and specifically rookies that might surprise you in year one. So, Alex, tell us your first rookie that may surprise.
Well, first, Andrew, before we jump right into it, shouldn't we get a lay of the land? Like, who would you say was a rookie last year who really surprised you, that would fall into this type of category?
Yeah, I mean, I would say probably both of the mid-round Pistons players, Isaiah Stewart and Sadiq Bey. I think
that's what I was thinking. Sadiq was a good option.
Yeah, yeah. Tyrese Maxey was picked 21st. I think that's another guy that you could have circled before. Mano Quickley is another. Jaden McDaniels. Like, those are guys you could have circled preseason to say, oh, maybe those guys will do something. So that's kind of what we're trying to do here.
And it's interesting with the Pistons guys. I feel like that was a little bit more predictable because you could say, well, here's a young team. These guys are going to get more playing time. Yeah. The Manuel Quickley and Tyrese Maxey getting like considerable minutes, especially like in the playoffs at some point, that was really surprising. Yep. For my first one, I'm going more on the side of this guy just has a chance to get minutes, and it's Bones Highland. Ooh. Drafted 26 overall by the Denver Nuggets out of VCU. This is kind of because of the Jamal Murray injury. Yeah. We know that Jamal Murray isn't going to be back for a while. Bones Highland is a 6'3 guard, 6'9 wingspan. He actually gets compared sometimes to Will Barton, and he's coming in with a reputation as a shooter. Yeah. And if you think about guys who surprise us, it's typically scorers, whether it's like a Sadiq Bey draining a bunch of threes or Emmanuel Quickley scoring for the Knicks. So I think Bones Highland, especially in the early part of the season until Jamal Murray gets back, could potentially play that microwave score off the bench role for the Nuggets. He has incredible range. He shot really well at VCU. The question is his defense, but no one questions his mentality. That's kind of one of the big selling points with Bones Highland and why so many people in the run-up to the draft grew on people. So I think Bones Highland has a nice shot here to kind of make his mark in the early part of the season for that depleted Nuggets team.
Yeah, I like Bones a lot. He just gets buckets, and he takes good shots too. I think he'll fit really well with Jokic and that team. I mean, it was a nice swing at 26. I mean, for the most part, the 26th pick in the draft doesn't do anything. Like, those guys usually just don't make it. And right. I really like the idea of bringing him to that team because, like, they need guys to score the basketball. Like, they really do. They have tons of, like, nice role players on their team. But to have somebody just go get a bucket, like, I like that pick. And, yeah, he's got a chance. Like, you have that group. It's kind of a fun group. That really starts with Josh Christopher at 24. It's Josh Christopher, Quentin Grimes, Bones Highland, Cam Thomas, Jaden Springer.
And so much scoring in that run.
It's, I mean, all of those guys, I think the lowest point per game for all of those guys per 36 in college was 17 points, which is, like, that's pretty significant. I mean, I don't even think that was the case. Yeah, that's not even the case with the top four because Scottie Barnes didn't score 17 yeah. points per 36 in college. So to me, that's a fun group. You almost have that whole group as like tie those guys together because I think that at least one of those guys is going to pop out of that group. So my guy is not as deep of a cut as Bones Highland, but I'm going with Chris Duarte. Shooting guard out of Oregon. One, because this dude better be good, because he's 24 years old. Oldest guy in the draft. One of the oldest guys ever to be drafted in the lottery. I mean,
one of the oldest guys ever.
One of the oldest guys ever.
Yeah.
He just announced his retirement, Chris Duarte. It is just amazing. I mean, he is nearly 6 years older than Jonathan Kuminga. And it just blows my mind. But he... So in the summer league, he was very good, very in control, great shooter, a guy that's going to be able to make good passes, and just another creator for the Pacers, which is something that they need. So a nice guard off the bench. I think he's going to come in. He's got good size. He's 6'6". He's ready to play right away. And so to me, if you draft Chris Duarte, you don't bring him in for development years. You bring him in because he's just a ready-made role player there at 13. And apparently there were like the Warriors really wanted him at 14. So there's like smart organizations that were after this guy. And so I would not be surprised to see him in year one contribute quite a bit. Not dissimilar to one of his teammates, Malcolm Brogdon, who was good in his rookie season. So I would not be surprised to see Chris Duarte have a similar season. Not that they're completely similar players, because Duarte is not going to have the ball in his hands quite as much as Brogdon does, but I think Duarte is ready to contribute today.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah, just in terms of coming in and like right out of the gate being a part of their core rotation going forward. And another reason why this is a good pick, it was announced today that TJ Warren's foot injury is still lingering. Yep. His timetable is still indefinite. So there's potential minutes there as well for Duarte. I mean, he's probably getting minutes anyways, but even more minutes. My second guy, I'm going with Trey Murphy III.
Yes.
Drafted by the New Orleans Pelicans at pick 17. You know, the Pelicans offseason has been interesting, to say the least. And I feel like Trey Murphy's kind of getting left behind. People are forgetting about Trey Murphy and what a good potential fit he could be on this team that desperately needs someone who can shoot the ball and someone who can play defense. And I think Trey Murphy III can do both of those for the Pelicans. And because there's just a lack of those skills on that team currently, he's going to get those minutes. I don't see anyone on that roster that's going to be preventing him necessarily. Like, I could see by the end of the year him having a similar to like the Sadiq Bey year, rookie year, where by the end of the season, he's playing 25, 30 minutes a game. He's just part of the core rotation. He's, whether he's their sixth man or if he enters the starting lineup somehow, I just think this guy is going to get a ton of playing time, and it's going to be because of his shooting and his defense on this team.
Yeah. I love the fit with Zion because he's just going to knock down shots. That's what Trey Murphy does. He's got great size for the position. I think it was a great selection by the Pelicans. I'm excited. He just has to play. You look up and down their roster, and they don't have guys like him. They have some creators, but they don't have guys to throw the ball to that are just going to make shots. And he's not crazy young either, so I don't think that you're going to have to wait a long time for Trey Murphy to be ready. He's 21 years old. I think he's in a perfect position to just be on that roster and play good minutes off the bench for them. So, yeah, I'm excited for Trey.
His last season at Virginia, well, I guess it was his only season at Virginia, he shot 50-40-90. Like, this guy's legit shooter.
Yeah, he is very, very good. I love that pick for them, too. It's just perfect. Another pick for me. And this was a guy that through the draft process I did not like. I did not think that anybody should take him in the first round. But he was super good in summer league. And I know, like, summer league, whatever, you shouldn't use summer league. But this was a guy, Jalen Johnson out of Duke, who we didn't get to see a lot of him. And that was one of the biggest problems, is that he cut his time in high school short. He cut his time in college short. We didn't get to see him. Like, the sample size is so low that you couldn't even get to see him get comfortable. And then you see him on the court with those other players in the summer league, and it's like, oh, okay. He's got legit size for a forward. I think he can play both forward positions. He can really score. He's a really good rebounder. He's a nice passer. He can kind of do a little bit of everything. And if not for the character issues that were set forth, he could have been a lottery pick. And I think he landed in a really nice place with the Atlanta Hawks because they have a pecking order established. If he were to land on a team that didn't quite know where the... I mean, even a team like the Rockets, where it's like, okay, pretty sure it's Jalen Green's team, but like we have this like mishmash of like veterans and like young guys that are trying to establish themselves. I think there could have been issues there. But in Atlanta, like, they just made the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think that Jalen Johnson is a guy that could demand minutes off the bench even in year one and come in and help them in year one just because he has an NBA-ready body and he can really score from all over the court and he's going to be able to contribute right away just from the power forward position. And you look at DeAndre Hunter, who's kind of that's their guy at that spot, but he has struggled with injuries. And so if he continues to struggle with injuries like he has, I think that Jalen Johnson can slip right in there and be a similar facsimile to what DeAndre Hunter has done for them.
Yeah, I think it would be a surprise, though, because you look at that team and it's like he would have to beat out, you know, John Collins, who just signed a massive extension. Danilo Gallinari is still there. We expect that DeAndre Hunter is going to be back healthy. Mm-hmm. Now, Okongwu is out with an injury for a while. But if he was that good, you know, in the run-up through training camp and in the early part of the season, mm-hmm. and he started getting regular rotation minutes for this team, that would be super impressive.
It'd be a big surprise. To me, the guy he's got to be out is Cam Reddish. Because I think he can play Jalen Johnson on the wing some too. And so if he can beat out Cam Reddish, which it's not the biggest mountain to climb, I think that perhaps we could see Jalen Johnson on the court. Anybody else? Any other standouts, Al, before we go? Anybody you want to throw in there? I would like to throw in Josh Giddey. I didn't want to be a complete homer. But the thing about Josh Giddey is that he's going to play a ton of minutes for this young Thunder team. And they're going to play him at point guard. They're going to play him on the wing. They're going to play him in all kinds of positions. And I think he is going to at least produce just because of the fact he's going to get minutes. And obviously, you can say like Kay, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, Scotty Barnes, Jalen Suggs. Like, of course, those guys are going to get minutes, and they're going to, like, one of those guys will likely be rookie of the year. Like, that's what's going to happen.
Right.
But you look at everybody else, like, who else is guaranteed minutes? Like, are you sure Jonathan Kuminga is going to play? Like, I'm not sure Jonathan Kuminga is going to play this year. Like, I'm not positive about that. Is Zaire Williams going to play for Memphis? Like, I think that maybe they're clearing the way for him a little bit with the way they've constructed their roster, but still, like, I'm not positive he's going to play a ton of minutes for them.
We'll find out on next week's Saturday Slam and Jam.
That's right.
Where we talk about the Grizzlies.
Tease there. Even Corey Kispert, senior, 22 years old, I'm not positive he's going to play for the Wizards. You look at their depth chart, and it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's going to play. I don't think it's going to happen.
That's why if I was going to choose someone else, and this guy was taking the lottery, so it's similar to Chris Duarte, but Moses Moody,
yeah.
I could see him playing more minutes than Jonathan Kuminga, who was taken ahead of him. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with Wiseman, because we know with on-off numbers last year with Wiseman weren't great, and this is a team with the Golden State Warriors who are definitely trying to compete for a title this year, and I just think Moody could fit into that so much more seamlessly than either of those two other guys. And depending on injury, depending on what happens with Otto Porter, depending on Iggy's health,
yep.
I could see a scenario where Moody is playing 20 minutes per game for the Warriors towards the end of the season.
Yep.
And, you know, mainly as a spot-up shooter and you know, 3-and-D. So I think that's another guy who could surprise just because of how good the team is that he's on.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. And he's really mature for his age. He's 19 years old, really young player. But he's shown a maturity just in his journey through high school and at Arkansas and then the pre-draft process. I think people were really impressed with him. So thanks so much for listening to The Daily Ding. Be sure to check out all of our podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network. And we will talk to you guys again later on this week.